This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 285 of Israel's genocide in Gaza. Here's a summary of some of the latest developments, and we'll also share some highlights of reportage from the Electronic Intifada's contributors there. Israel committed a series of massacres over the past week, repeatedly targeting the Al-Mawasi area, which was designated as a so-called safe zone in the south, as well as Nuseirat refugee camp in the central area. Israel bombed emergency shelters at United Nations-run schools in at least five separate attacks over the last week. Tamara Al-Rifai, a spokesperson for the UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, said that, quote, the last week has been one of the deadliest weeks in Gaza since the war started. On Saturday, Israel carried out a massacre in Al-Mawasi, killing at least 90 and wounding 300. In a separate attack, Israel bombed worshippers gathered for noon prayers outside the ruins of a mosque in Beach refugee camp, killing at least 20. Our senior editor, Maureen Claire Murphy, reports that Saturday's deadly attacks came as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu appeared to be sabotaging what may be a final push to reach a deal with Hamas that would see an exchange of captives and lead the way for a permanent ceasefire in Gaza. Hamas condemned the, quote, horrific massacre in densely populated Al-Mawasi, the open area where Israel ordered Palestinians to move after declaring one-third of Gaza a combat zone last week. This is from Maureen's report. Israel reportedly dropped five 2,000-pound bombs in Al-Mawasi, resulting in one of the deadliest attacks, if not the deadliest, since nearly 300 people were killed in a raid in Nuseirat refugee camp on June 8th. The United Nations said that the strikes on Al-Mawasi on Saturday allegedly hit tents housing displaced people, a food kitchen, and a desalination plant where people had gathered to collect water, leading to tens of fatalities. Israeli military quadcopters reportedly targeted emergency rescue workers, killing at least one civil defense worker and injuring several others, the Human Rights Office added. A witness recounted to reporters that there was a firebelt, a series of heavy bombs dropped in the same place without warning on the tent encampment. When rescuers arrived, F-16 jets, quote, bombed the paramedics and civil defense team, he said. Israel attempted to justify the massacre in Al-Mawasi on Saturday by claiming that it had targeted Muhammad Deif, the elusive head of the Qassam Brigades, the armed wing of Hamas, and the commander of Qassam's Khan Yunis Brigade. Reporting from Al-Mawasi this week, our contributor Razan Abu Salem writes that, quote, the claim that Al-Mawasi would be safe turned out to be a brazen lie. Israel attacked us with the American-made warplanes in its arsenal. There was no warning. An area full of tents was transformed into a mass grave, she writes. For much more on the July 13th massacre in Al-Mawasi, read Razan Abu Salem's feature, Slaughter in a Safe Zone, and Maureen Claire Murphy's news report, Israel Kills at Least 90 Palestinians in Gaza's Safe Zone, on electronicintifada.net. The Gaza government media office stated that at least 320 dead or wounded Palestinians had been brought to hospitals across Gaza in just 48 hours between Saturday and Monday. Healthcare officials stated that many of the dead and injured arrived with third-degree burns caused by internationally banned weapons like thermal bombs. The government media office said that these kinds of weapons are particularly lethal, adding that it holds Washington fully responsible for arming Israel and causing the multiple massacres committed by Israeli forces in the Gaza Strip. A volunteer with the Rebuild Gaza Initiative recorded this video of the aftermath of Monday's massacre in Al-Mawasi.
Hi guys, I'm actually in Al-Mawasi where the incident took place yesterday. I know the world thinks they've been told the number of casualties been about 70 odd. It's far away from the reality. People are still digging under the ground. The tents are literally under the ground. They're digging as we're seeing, just trying to find their belongings, food, anything that they can see right on. So the tents are actually under the sand. So a lot of rockies.
That was from Rebuild Gaza. On Tuesday, Israeli forces again bombed displaced people sheltering in Al-Mawasi. The Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza said that at least 17 people were killed and more than two dozen were wounded. And Israel bombed the United Nations-run Razi Middle School, which has been turned into a shelter for displaced people, killing at least 23. Al Jazeera reporter Hani Mahmoud said that the Israeli attack on the school in the heart of the camp happened during rush hour when the streets around the overcrowded school were full of people. Maureen Claire Murphy reported that journalist Mohamed Mishmish was among those killed, bringing the number of journalists killed in Gaza since October to 160, the government media office in the territory said. Following Saturday's massacre in Al-Mawasi, Maureen reports, three prominent human rights organizations, Al-Mizan, Al-Haq, and the Palestinian Center for Human Rights, said that the attack is, quote, part of a pattern of conduct in which Israel is destroying Palestinian life in Gaza. The attacks on the shelter is characteristic of the maximum pressure being exerted on civilians in Gaza as a key tactic of Israel's offensive since October 7th. For much more on the attacks over the last several days, including analysis on the international legal front and on Israel's failing military strategies, read Maureen Claire Murphy's report, Israel Massacres Civilians to Maximize Pressure on Hamas, on electronicintifada.net. Israel retreated from the Shujaiya neighborhood in eastern Gaza City this week after a two-week-long raid, but continued to attack Palestinians with airstrikes. Journalist Ibrahim Al-Khalil reported from Gaza City's Shujaiya neighborhood on Monday after the Israeli military left it in ruins.
I am here standing in the heart of a Shujaiya neighborhood. I'm trying to shed light as much as possible on the unimaginable destruction left behind by the last military operation conducted inside Al-Shujaiya neighborhood. Like the massive destruction you see around you, this is used to be a marketplace called the vegetable market inside the Shujaiya neighborhood. And as you can see, families are trying to just return to the neighborhood, trying to retrieve whatever they can retrieve and trying to set up tents to live in the neighborhood.
That was Ibrahim Al-Khalil reporting from Gaza City on Monday. A spokesperson for the Civil Defense Corps in Gaza said that the bodies of more than 60 people had been recovered in Shujaiya and that many more were missing under the rubble of destroyed homes. Also in Gaza City, Israel completely flattened the headquarters of UNRWA, the United Nations Agency for Palestine Refugees. More than 190 of the agency's facilities, including schools where people have sought shelter, have been bombed across Gaza since October. The United Nations estimated this week that it could take 15 years to clear the 40 million tons of rubble across Gaza. The municipality of Deir el-Balah reported earlier this week that the city has run out of clean water. 19 wells and two water tanks that serve more than 700,000 internally displaced people are unavailable because Israel won't let fuel into Gaza, the GLIA project stated on Monday. The World Health Organization said this week that the concurrent lack of access to clean water, adequate food, sanitation, and basic health services is trapping people in a vicious cycle. Our contributor Fida Al-Kedra reported on the efforts undertaken by Rahaf, a young woman in Khan Yunis, to procure safe drinking water for her family, a task that has fallen on her shoulders after her two brothers were severely injured in an Israeli attack. Fida reports, quote, early each morning, she goes to a desalination plant in Khan Yunis, a southern Gaza city on which Israel has inflicted massive destruction. You can see the long line from afar. There are hundreds of people of all ages. Most of them carry yellow or blue 40-liter jerry cans. Many have come from shelters several kilometers away. They use shopping carts, wheelchairs, and even baby strollers to transport their containers. Rahaf puts the water containers on her mother's wheelchair and then pushes it through streets that are in deplorable conditions. When her family runs out of safe drinking water, they have to consume polluted water. Rahaf's nephew has contracted hepatitis A as a result. Ahmed Al-Kudra, a pediatrician at Nasser Medical Complex, told Fidat that, quote, a lack of clean water can lead to many water quality-related diseases, such as diarrhea and skin diseases. But simply not having enough water can also lead to dehydration. The effects are worse for children who have weaker immune systems than adults and are more susceptible to dehydration, diarrhea, malnutrition, and various diseases, all of which can worsen and pose a threat to their survival. For more, read Fida Al-Kedra's report, A Long Wait for Water, on electronicintifada.net. Meanwhile, health experts say that miscarriages in Gaza have skyrocketed 300% since before October 7th, and women are three times more likely to die in childbirth. Israel's ruthless and deliberate targeting of hospitals and health clinics over the last 9 months is compounded with a lack of critical supplies and medications necessary to ensure safe deliveries. But this is just part of the crisis. Severe malnourishment, dehydration, exhaustion, and psychological stress experienced by pregnant women lead to miscarriages, stillbirths, or low birth weights and developmental delays in newborns. The charity Save the Children noted that approximately 50,000 babies have been born in Gaza since Israel's attacks began, with many women giving birth in traumatic, unhygienic, and undignified conditions without access to basic services. The organization reported this week that some women in Gaza are self-inducing labor to avoid giving birth on the move. Women, they say, are dying in scores from otherwise preventable pregnancy complications, the aid organization CARE stated. Dr. Raba Al-Madhoun, an obstetrician in Gaza, describes the opposing feelings of joy and grief experienced by many mothers of babies delivered during the genocide. She wrote a feature we published this week about a woman named Hiba, who is 8 months pregnant when the Gaza home where she was sheltering with her family was hit in an Israeli airstrike. Quote, Hiba went into premature labor as a result of the bombing, underscoring the validity of studies that link stress and fear to triggering labor pains in early delivery. She said, Rabba, can you imagine? I gave birth without even seeing my baby or knowing what was happening around me. It was a normal vaginal birth, not a C-section. It feels like a miracle. Hiba gave birth under the worst conditions. Burns around her eyes had left her unable to open them or see for several days. She gave birth on the day her husband was martyred. Neither he nor any other family member was by her side. For more, read Dr. Raba Al-Madhoun's feature, Joy Struggles with Grief as Birth Mingles with Death, on electronicintifada.net. And finally, we wanted to bring you some images and videos from journalists and others in Gaza who are not just relentlessly documenting the unspeakable atrocities, but also making sure to highlight the resilience, joy, and determination of the Palestinian people. The American Friends Service Committee's team in Gaza organized gatherings for young football fans anticipating the Spain-England match at the Euro final over the weekend. Our contributor Abu Bakr Abed reported from the beach on Sunday alongside those children.
As you can see here, many traumatized children, brutalized by the ongoing war on Gaza, are very eagerly waiting for tomorrow's biggest final between England and Spain. As we can see that they are cheering up for La Roja for their unrivaled support over the course of time since this genocide started. These are children deprived of food, water, and everything, every basic right. The most traumatized children on earth are now gathering to try to seek some respite from Israel's relentless bombardment and create an atmosphere full of bitter joy and revelry. Tomorrow, as Spain play England, these children and many fans in the Gaza Strip will be waiting for the start of the game, hoping that Spain will win the tournament.
That was Abu Bakr Abed. On Monday, Spain beat England. The score was 2-1. And finally, Gaza-based Instagram user Athar Abu Rabia, who regularly uploads photos and videos documenting the daily struggles, particularly for children, as well as her own ingenious methods of cooking and building things without gas or electricity, recently recorded this video of kids dancing in the street. And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our phenomenal writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loiselle.